east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Good morning.
I wanted to ask you, have you ever done any talking about the Zodiac Killer?
No.
Who was the actor in San Francisco?
The Zodiac Murder.
First of all, it's an unsolved crime, but it has been solved. It has to do a lot with cryptology and also you know what the type of work Christo does?
Yes.
You are the Christo?
Yes, Christo. It's almost indiscernible at times.
Right, exactly. This is what the Zodiac is.
I don't think Christo would be happy to hear you
He knows who it is.
Oh, now, how could Christo know who it is? I wonder where she came up with that one.
Coming to you live and direct from the KCZN studios in Ventura County, California, it's time to come alive with 805, starring Anthony J. Hilder. Liven up and listen in to what's what, who's who, what's happening, and where. You're about to get an inside view into the shape of things to come and things as they really are. We invite you to call in and share your opinions with the movers and shakers who motivate millions of Americans daily. In the next 3 hours, you'll hear what you won't get on the nightly news. We'll separate the facts from the fiction and get down to the issues that count. You'll hear the explosive free world news and inside views from some of the most controversial men and women in the entire world. And now, your host, a man considered to be one of the most powerful personalities in America, Anthony J. Hilder.
This is Anthony J. Hilder. Tonight, we're going to have several years ago, you were reminded almost on a daily basis about one of America's most bizarre killers, the Zodiac Killer, who was a serial murderer, an individual who tempted the police and authorities to find him. He would have this unusual style, and I guess at first it seemed like he was just some sort of derelict or degenerate hippie from Haight-Ashbury up around the San Francisco area, but an individual decided that let's take a look at what he's writing and see if we could if he could decipher something from this mumbo-jumbo that made sense. I mean, the killings were at random, apparently. But one individual, Gareth Penn, a man who has been involved with Mensa. Mensa is an elite group of intellectuals who have dug deep into the background of many individuals who have been accused of murder. And in an attempt to straighten things out, the individuals in Mensa have investigated the murders. And there is a fellow named Gareth Penn. Well, this man dug into the dirt, into the background of this so-called Zodiac Killer. He came forth with a book, some 370 pages, entitled Times 17. This man has devoted 5 or 6 years to putting together this enormous work. Gareth Penn will be on the air with us this evening. I'm going right to the lines to San Francisco, and Gareth Penn, you're on the air.
Hello, Anthony.
How are you? Speak up loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Now, I have received a preview copy of your book, times 17. And this is exposing an individual who you claim to is the Zodiac killer.
Correct.
And this individual is not one who is some derelict from the Haight-Ashbury district.
Absolutely not.
You claim that this individual is a very intelligent individual who thinks of himself as superior to others in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go back a few years, there was a film called Compulsion with Orson Welles and Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
And that was about the Leopold Loeb case,
mm-hmm.
where two boys who felt themselves superior to everybody else got a charge out of killing innocents on the street. They figured that they could get away with it. I mean, they were above the law.
Right.
And you claim in your book that this individual, who is a doctor, is that correct? I mean, he has a PhD, a doctorate from Harvard University.
Correct.
Is the individual. And in a few moments after our initial conversation, we're going to have a conversation with the man whom you claim to be the Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
And if we take a look at the string of murders, he is not that much unlike Jack the Ripper.
Uh-huh.
In that Jack the Ripper's murders were never solved. They never really knew who he was, with the exception of the fact that he might have been a doctor. Or a skilled surgeon. Killing off
the theory that attributes the Jack Ripper murders to a member of the royal family.
Possibly a member of the royal family who simply got his kicks out of wasting women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sort of proof do we have in your book that would lead us to believe that this individual, this doctor at Harvard University, who teaches a class at the John F. Kennedy School of Government. What proof do we have that this individual is, in actuality, the Zodiac killer?
Well, we have from the Zodiac episode in the Bay Area approximately 24 documents which were written by the Zodiac murderer, most of which were sent to the San Francisco Chronicle. And in many of these letters, he claimed to be identifying himself in some kind of code. The police were baffled by his claims, and never seemed to be able to make head nor tail out of the various ciphers that he sent to the Chronicle and to a few private individuals. But the simplest thing always seems to have eluded them, and that was the use of Morse code, something that every Boy Scout learned. Since I was a Boy Scout many years ago, I resolved to try that. I'm not very good at cryptography myself, and I thought that since so many other talented people in this area had tried their hands at it, that I would simply be wasting my time trying to do something that they had not been able to do. So I just tried Morse code, and I got from that a set of consistent readings. That is to say, I kept getting the same information over and over and over and over, which appeared to allude to the three members of a particular family whom I could identify using standard reference works available in any public library. At that time, there was no evidence that this individual had ever been on the West Coast. So more than a year after I identified him using this cryptographic method of analysis, or I should say using Morse code as a means of analysis.
And this is from the letters that he sent.
The letters that he sent to the San Francisco Chronicle and to a few other addresses here in the San Francisco Bay Area, mainly between 1969 and 1971.
Identifying himself as the Zodiac killer.
Correct.
Now, he used several names, did he not?
During that period, he generally identified himself as the Zodiac. In 1974, he returned and he used three or four other names, but the handwriting was the same, and there were various other behavioral characteristics that indicated that that this was the same person.
Now, not all of his victims died. There was two individuals that were cut up and left for dead, and they later identified him by, they reconstructed his face.
One of those two victims died 48 hours after the attack, but she was able to give testimony. The other victim survived. Another surviving victim who contributed to the police arrest, was shot three times with a 9mm automatic pistol and survived through no fault of the murderers. His companion in the car in which he was sitting was completely wasted. However, she was dead on arrival at the Valero General Hospital. But also presented in this book, besides the cryptographic evidence, is photographic evidence of a physical similarity between the two people, of handwriting comparisons, of employment history, firearms registrations, and various behavioral characteristics which connect the two individuals together. This was all discovered after I had identified him on the basis of the letters alone. In other words, I presented a theory which advanced several predictions, and the predictions were all confirmed through later observation of evidence.
But your tracking this killer seems to be an obsession. I mean, it has become an obsession. It's been the major driving force in your life for the past 5 or 6 years.
Well, I don't know about that. I just spent the last 2 weeks building a dollhouse for my 9-year-old daughter.
But, I mean, this book took an enormous amount of research and effort.
Well, many years ago, I was a graduate student, and I never finished my doctorate. And I suppose this is the doctoral dissertation which I never wrote. Some people go through life without getting children, and then they go out and adopt them. In my case, I had to take second best. Instead of doing a PhD in medieval literature, I decided to do what kind of mass murderer instead.
Now, if we take a look at the backgrounds of John Wayne Gacy, who murdered young boys after he had performed homosexual acts with them and put them in his cellar, buried them behind the walls, we find an individual that appeared to be quite normal. In fact, he was out there supporting Jimmy Carter in Chicago, I believe. Just apparently at the surface seemed to be just like the regular guy next door. And then there was Juan Corona, who was convicted of killing transient Mexican workers up in Northern California. We've had so many of these individuals who were undetected for so long. Even Charles Miles Manson got away with his thrill kill killings for quite a period of time before the police actually broke the case. Now, you have done what the police have not done. Is there an FBI investigation going on into this killing still? Have they reopened this case?
The FBI did not have a Zodiac case until last summer. They never opened one at all until they started investigating the person who is the subject of this book. I have information from two completely independent sources. One is the head of the security department at Harvard University, and the other one is the detective sergeant who was the chief homicide investigator for the Marin County Sheriff's Department, who has a favor to me, researched this matter with other law enforcement agencies. And their findings were that both the FBI and Massachusetts state prosecutors had recently been investigating this particular individual, who, as you indicate, does not give the appearance, or the outward appearance, to most people of being the kind of person you would suspect of committing this kind of crime.
Now, would you like to tell our audience what this individual does insofar as his career is concerned, what he teaches at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University?
I believe that what he's teaching basically is decision theory. And I can't go into too much detail about that because it's all Greek to me, basically. I can say in general that I have the highest regard for his intellectual capacities and for his educational attainments, which I consider to be among the highest of anybody that I've ever come into contact with. And
in fact, you have an admiration for his intellect, do you?
Absolutely.
But you also have stated that you were horrified by his deeds. In fact, you sort of painted him or pictured him as an artist. And his masterpiece that he planned to live beyond his years, that he planned to have lived beyond his years, was this masterpiece of murder.
Yes, I'd subscribe to that. I characterize it as a piece of conceptual artwork. I don't know if that's going to be familiar to all of your listeners, but conceptual artwork is a form of art which sometimes exists only as a concept, as an idea, but sometimes is carried out with completely unconventional media, such as skywriting or building fences and then tearing them down. I imagine that everybody has come into contact at one time or another with photographs of the work of Christo, who built a running fence up here in the Bay Area about a dozen years ago, surrounded islands in Miami Bay. He generally wraps things in huge amounts of fabric and leaves it up for a couple of weeks and then tears it down again after everybody's had a chance to look at it.
Now, this individual who teaches essentially decision theory is teaching people to hold administrative posts in government.
Yes.
So he's teaching city managers and individuals like this who will take their place in high positions in the government of the United States.
Correct. Although I imagine most of the people who come out of the John F. Kennedy School of Government will have jobs considerably higher than city managers.
But basically those individuals who have that line of thinking, who are oriented towards
public administration. Correct.
Gareth, one other thing before we take a short break, and then we're going to come back to you later. We're going to speak to the individual in question here, who you claim is the Zodiac Killer. As you know, in the Oxnard area, we have been talking for the past week or so about city managers, about those individuals who really control the scenes from behind the scenes, sort of the puppeteers who have their strings on individuals like you would find in the city council. I mean, they get the $80,000 a year, and the city council, in this particular case, the council members get $400 a month, the mayor gets $600 a month. They make the suggestions, they give alternative 1, 2, and 3 to the city council, and they do things. So as a consequence, my interest in this area has peaked.
It's a double-barreled interest.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happens that here's an individual who teaches administrators to go out into high positions in government.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested in the thinking of this man and thinking of men like him. I'm not saying that all men who are administrators of people or administrators of government have this mindset. But there seems to be a feeling of superiority, like they are above others. In some cases, above the law.
You could be right.
Well, we're going to depart from you now. We will be back. One other thing. When you wrote this book, you did not know who this individual was. You had no idea at all.
When I wrote it?
When you first began.
When I first started.
When you first started. And you discovered this piece by piece by breaking down this code. Now, you are with Mensa, and Mensa has had a couple of very interesting sleuths. Some people call them gumshoes, detectives. One in particular, Earl Stanley Garner, did all of the Perry Mason stories. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Did he belong to Mensa?
No, I'm wondering. Did he or did he not?
I don't know. Earl Stanley Gardner founded a group called the court of last resort, whose purpose was to investigate claims of people who were on death row, that some piece of evidence had been left out to determine whether or not there was sufficient evidence for a retrial. After Gardner died, the court of last resort was taken over by Mensa.
That's what I mean.
I don't know whether he was in Mensa or not, but at any rate, there's certainly they certainly came together there.
So, what Earl Stanley Gardner created, Mensa took over.
Yes.
And this is the court of last resort.
Right.
And, of course, he was responsible for writing all of the Perry Mason thrillers.
Right.
Which have entertained America. So, tonight, what we really have is a first, not only in America, but a first in the world. This is Anthony J. Hillary. I'll be right back.